Well, as I mentioned already, we're coming up upon Easter, and there's invite cards back there. Please don't let this opportunity pass. Easter is one of the easiest times to invite people to come to church. It really is. Statistically speaking, it's one or two in the most likely for unchurched people to come to church. And so we're never going to have an easier opportunity than this. And so I challenge you to take, they're in bundles, about five. And trust you can take a bundle of those and pass them out this week, inviting people personally to come and be with you on Easter Sunday here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Well, it is a joy for our church to have our family, my pastor, Amy's brother, and Dr. Mike Norris pastors the Franklin Road Baptist Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And he came 24 years ago or so, and that place has just, the church has just expanded and grown, and they have about 35 acres now, I think. They have, just as the Lord has opened up opportunities, they've bought property and they've built and bought property and built and done so many different things. But the one thing that stayed the same in all of his preaching is lifted up Jesus Christ and continue to tell that area about their need for a Savior. And so for all of these years, of course, my pastor that will preach for in just a little bit, helped me shore up assurance of my salvation way back a long time ago in West Virginia, and baptized me. And then he performed the wedding ceremony for Amy and I. I am his married to his kid sister. And then he hired me. And then he ordained me, or vice versa, one or the other there. And then we split up for a while, and he hired me again. So you know, if your guy hires you twice, you're really onto something. And it's been such, he's such a wonderful pastor, a man of God. I'm thankful for him. All that I have in the ministry, of all of the good things, most of them can be traced back to his ministry. And I'm thankful, of course, the Lord, obviously, but the Lord uses people, and this is the person that he's seen fit to use. And so I'm thankful. I love him, and I'm so grateful he's here for our family day. Preacher, you come preach to us. We're so thankful that he's here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and it's a wonderful, wonderful joy to get to hear from him this morning and tonight, and I know that you're going to enjoy it all.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. John. Love you. Bless you. Love you too. All right. Well, it's good to be at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. A great crowd today. We're glad you're here on this family day. And they said that they had to start leaving the choir up there. So good to see everybody in the choir, especially Brother Stover right there in the middle. God bless you. And if my coat gets twisted around, y'all looking behind me, you holler out and say, "Preacher, your coat's twisted around." And so happy to be here today on this family day. And I love my family, sitting over there with my sister Amy and Al, and Maddie Mae was somewhere. She's in the choir, I think. And Jared is with us now. Back in the day, whenever your kids rebelled, we sent them off to roll-offs down in Texas. And so they sent Jared over us for some rehab. And so we're working hard on him now. Actually, he's a wonderful young man. And so wonderful, one of the girls picked up on him there. And now they're going to get married in July. Can you believe that? Boy, what a hoedown that's going to be. You know, when we Norses all get together, we hang the lights in the pines, break out in square dancing and everything. It's pretty wild time. I'm kidding on the square dancing. Okay. Some of you act like you believe that. But anyhow, you've been kicking your shoes off up and down over here. And but now my wife usually is with me, but she's preaching back in Westford or back in our church. I'm kidding. She'll listen to this in just a moment and kill me for that. Actually, her back is, we had her at the hospital the other day, and she is recovering from that. Didn't think she could make the four-hour trip over for family day, so we made a family day at our church. My son's preaching for me there, and my dad will be there listening to him. You may not know this, but Dad listens to you every Sunday, John. He'll listen to you because you're an hour ahead, and then he'll come to our church. And so he'll be listening right now. Dad, if you're listening, God bless you out there in radio land. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 on this family day as we consider maybe some thoughts about this Palm Sunday as the Lord made that triumphal entry there into the city. And his fame, his popularity had peaked. He had raised people from the dead. He had healed people. He had gathered multitudes of followers. And just because people say that they're a Christian does not necessarily mean that they won't turn to the Lord, because many of these did. And that triumphal entry, everybody was really, really excited that day. They're all fired up about the king. They thought the king was here. But that was a sad day for Lord Jesus. If you read in the Gospels in Luke 21, I think 22 there, it said that Jesus approached the city, he wept. And he said, pretty much, I'm paraphrasing, you have no idea what's coming. You're rejoicing and you're throwing your coats down as my mule walks through the streets and you're waving the palm leaves and all of that. And he said, you have no idea what's coming your way. And he wasn't necessarily speaking of the crucifixion there. He could tell that they had missed that completely. He was speaking more so of the fact that they're going to lose their city and Jerusalem would fall and they'd be driven out and Christians would be ostracized and they'd already lost Jerusalem. They already lost their temple over and over, but they were building things back. But he said, you have no idea what's coming. And you've not paid attention to the day of your visitation. You've not looked for the Lord to come back. And may I say today, on this family day and on this Palm Sunday, that of all times, you and I should be looking for our Lord and Savior to come back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a wonderful crowd here today. And I know it'll be full and running over. I don't know how you're going to get them all in next week. And that's a wonderful thing. But you know what? It should stay that way. As we move into these dark times, now is not the time to be turning your back on the Lord and joining the apostate crowd. And I guess I drove all the way over here to tell you I'm excited about what God is doing in this church and our church and good Bible-believing churches all around America and across the world as Christians begin to take serious their Christian life and they repent of the sin and they draw close unto God. The Bible says if we draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto us. How many believe that? And so I hope we'll do that today. Let's stand together, please, read God's word. I'm not sure if y'all have a habit of doing that, but I want you to look at Joshua chapter 24 on this family day. And I want us to consider some truth here regarding families. And I will talk about our family maybe from time to time today. But Joshua chapter 24, let's pick up reading verse number 13 in Joshua chapter 24. And I have given you the land for which ye labor not, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of vineyards and olive yards, which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That phrase there, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, that was stated by a very, very determined husband and father that said, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter how the trends of society blow. I am going to be found serving the Lord when I go to meet him. How many could say that's my desire? Say amen. Amen. We will serve the Lord. I want to speak on this subject for a while this morning, finding faithful families. Finding faithful families. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray you'll challenge us, please, this morning. Please speak to our hearts and give us, Lord, your Holy Spirit's guidance as we preach. And I pray for our services back home, that you'll bless the preaching there and the altar call there. And help us as we seek to please you in this horrible environment that we're called upon to live in. In America, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. I do not and I will not state some of the evil that you and I are witnessing today. It's all over the news, and especially if you listen to the right kind of news, you'll get the right perspective, because the right kind of news will give you a biblical perspective. If you listen to MSNBC and CNN and some of these others, you're not going to get a right perspective for what is going on right now. For what is going on right now was predicted in Scripture. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Ladies and gentlemen, they are here. And it's affecting our families. I just read this this morning on the Fox News website. The title was Shifting Values Could Mean the End of the American Empire. I was interested and what values had shifted. I knew what they were, but here's what it says. The importance of long-held values like patriotism and religion, having children are declining across America. According to a recent Wall Street Journal poll and survey released Monday, within the last 25 years, the share of Americans who said that patriotism is very important dropped, watch this now, from 70% to only 38%. And those that value religion, or in other words, their faith, has dipped now from 62% to 39%. May God help us. We are in a mess. And understand that you and I are praying for a sweeping revival in our nation. You should pray every morning you get up that God revive the people of His church. But understand, just because we have a revival does not mean that's going to change what's blowing through this world right now. Jesus Christ is coming again. May we never forget that, and may we never forget that once God has set His action and plan, there is no turning back. He's going to do His thing. You and I may experience revival where we fill up churches, but that doesn't mean all the evil out there is going to go away. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have come to a place, we have come to a peak in our service to God, where you and I need to take our stand for Him. You and I, of all people, should know what's coming. Jesus should never say unto us, if you knew what was coming, you would not be able to understand. And He even told them on that day there in the triumphal entry, He said, because these things are hid from you. And I thank God that we have revelation. I thank God we have prophecy. But I also thank God that there's a lot that we don't understand that's hid from us. And I'm glad it's hid from us. But ladies and gentlemen, understand, you and I are not going to go through the tribulation. We're out of here. Amen. And so with that in mind, when Joshua spoke these words to God's people, he was standing on a promise of God as he stood in the promised land. God predicted all this. God had went before them. He defeated the enemy. And now at last, they had their very own nation to raise their families in. Man, it was all set. And may I remind you that there was a day that our forefathers migrated this country on those ships. And they built a land that was one nation under God. We've watched it be destroyed right before our very eyes. And understand that the family and the family unit has a big job in all of that. The Bible teaches us in the Word of God that they had divided the land and everybody had a new piece of property. They had beautiful homes that they did not build. They had gardens and fruit trees that they did not plant. And you might say, as we used to say back in West Virginia, they had it made in the shade. And they were living the life. Joshua knew that the only way this country would ever hold together was to keep the families together. This nation is built upon families and strong marriages. And the only way to keep your family together is to make up your mind that you're going to serve the Lord no matter what everybody else does. Now, we understand that history proves that every nation that has ever collapsed did so not because of war or because of economic woes or because necessarily of famine. But those nations collapsed because it all started when the nation began to lose its morals. Do you understand what socialism and communism is doing to our nation? It's been described that we'll destroy America with a shot that's never fired because we will slip into the homes. And by the way, that started back in the late 50s and early 60s with rock music. And you can say all you want to, but the family unit began to be destroyed in America because of communism and socialism that has slipped into our nation. And that's why socialism now in America is at the top of all the talking points as people try to figure out what in the world went wrong. They said they would try to destroy our morals, and they've done a pretty good job at it. Studies prove that when the family structure is neglected or the family structure is modified, as we're seeing it done today, that the morality and the morality fails to be passed from one generation to the next generation, and the moral fiber of a nation is lost. You can blame it on all the liberals out there. You can blame it on politics all you want to. But ladies and gentlemen, God intended for us to have strong churches and strong families and strong marriages. I don't know what you're expecting today on Family Sunday, but it's time for us to get this ship turned around and go in the right direction. Somehow we've got to strengthen our families. And mothers need to make a commitment to be godly moms. And dads need to make a commitment to be better dads. Husbands and wives need to make commitments that they'll hold their marriage together strong. And children must decide to obey their parents for at least 18 to 20 short years they're in the home. My dad and mom made sure. My dad would say it over and over. As long as you pull your feet under this table, you're going to obey the rules of this house, and you're going to be in church every time the doors are open. By the way, he accomplished that, didn't he, sis? He had ways to make sure that happened. We'll not talk about that. I want to give about five things today, if you'll listen. And let me just say, these are big things. It doesn't matter if you're scorned, if you're left out, if you're canceled, if you're gaslit, whatever that means. It doesn't matter what people say about you. And they're saying stuff now, but they're going to be saying a whole lot in the days ahead. You need to make up your mind. This day, I'm going to serve the Lord. If you're a single here, I'm going to serve the Lord. If you're a widow, a widower, I'm going to serve the Lord. I want to give you five things. If you'll jot these down, I'll try to be as quick as I can. Don't worry, I'll get hungry here in just a minute. Number one, families need to resist the trends and pressures of society. Families need to resist the trends and pressures of society. Look what he says in verse 15. I can't believe he even had to say this. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. May I ask this morning? When in the world did it ever become evil to serve the Lord? When did truth ever become evil? When was it that a good person became the problem? May I remind you that it happened back in the book of Judges, the next book over from Joshua. They actually just turned out wrong. I want you to just take a moment and turn over just a couple pages to Judges chapter 2. Let me show you. Joshua knew something was on the horizon. He's an old man now. He's starting to watch the young people. He's starting to watch the young marriages. He's starting to see a trend in his culture there. And that what he saw came true. And the reason he made that statement about, if you think it's evil to serve the Lord, make your choice. And they did make their choice. In Judges chapter 2, the godly generation of Joshua has all died off. Look at verse number 10. And also all the generation were gathered under their fathers. That means they died. And there rose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Now, I want you to understand something. There are a few generations. A good, healthy church has four generations. There's a generation in this church right here this morning that you remember when churches were on fire for God. You remember when we were filling them up. You remember whenever there was revival in the land. You remember when folks hit the old-fashioned altar and they repented of their sin. You remember those days. There's another generation that maybe you were small, crawling around maybe in the sawdust shavings there, in the old camp meetings and tent meetings, watching your moms and dads pray at the altar. You witnessed that. You didn't understand it all, but you witnessed that. And somehow along the line, the way, it kind of got embedded down inside of you that this must be the right way. Hey, if mom and dad kept their marriage together, if they kept their family together, I think maybe I can keep mine. And maybe by osmosis or with a little bit of luck, whatever they want to call it, you've done that. There's another generation said, I don't think I like that. I don't think I like being made to go to church. And I don't think I believe everything. I was in a store just the other day, and this older lady was witnessing to this younger lady. There were clerks there in this store, and she was trying to get her to come to her church. And she said, oh, I don't believe that anymore. She said, I grew up in church. I'm just over here. And by the way, I'll not be unkind, but you could take one look at her and tell she didn't believe it anymore. And she said, I don't believe nothing my parents taught. I think that what the preacher says is pretty much just what he thinks and a fairy tale and all that. And by the way, the same stuff is being paired today. That's that fourth generation. That fourth generation, that they don't believe what their mom and dad believed. They don't believe what their grandma and grandpa believed. They don't believe, they have no clue what happened back in the old days because all that history has been veiled. I'm just saying this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to resist the pressures of this society. Joshua and his wife sat down somewhere and decided about this statement. They said, we don't care what everybody else is doing. We will serve the Lord. If there is a trend, we're going to see what God says about it. The trend is churches just go to Sunday morning services and they knock off Sunday night and they knock off Wednesday night and just open. Why in the world would you ever build a church and just come one time to it anyway? Man, this by the way, you don't hear. I looked at your bulletin and your calendar, and this is a beehive activity, and it should be. This is the house of God. And if we see that trend coming in, we just kind of cancel all that. You ought to resist that. If you're pressured, let your kids participate in some wrong activity just because everybody else is doing it. Stand strong. I can remember using that phrase. I remember saying, "Well, Terry is going, and Kevin's going, and Ricky's going, and Bobby's going, and Junebug's going. Why can't I go?" And he said, "If they'd all go somewhere and jump off a bridge, would you do it?" And that meant I wasn't going, in case you didn't figure it out. And